Hello, everybody. As John said, my name's Nate, and my job here at Wayzata Community Church is I get to be a part of the middle school ministry team. So I hang out with all those lovely people right over there. Yes, hold the applause. Thank you. There aren't many things in life that can prepare you for the very first time you do something. This being my first time giving a sermon to a congregation like this in a sanctuary. But something you can do, you can turn and see what other people have done in the past. So either helpful or unhelpful, I turned, of course, to my childhood hero, Brett Favre. And in his very first NFL game, in his very, very first NFL pass, he threw a touchdown. What? That's incredible. But granted, it was a touchdown for the other team, but still, a touchdown. So tonight, in honor of Brett Favre, we're going to try and go for a touchdown. Will you guys please pray with me quick? Loving God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. So if you've ever been to a Sunday service here at Wayzata Community Church, you would have most surely heard these words spoken. At the end of every service during the benediction, whoever preached will come up, stand right here, and say, "For what does the Lord require of us but to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God?" Three, I think, very great principles for how to give us guidance on how to live out our lives. And lately, I've been thinking a lot about those three things and whether or not it's something that I'm actively trying to live out, or if it's something that we say so often that it's the words have almost become numb to me, and I don't really think about what their true meaning is. And of those three, I think the most difficult to live out is doing justice. It's easy for me to think about, okay, I can be kind and I can be humble, but how can I, as one person, do justice? And I think a lot of people, I think they think they're good at justice, but then you hear people say things like, "Oh, I don't see color," or, "I have a lot of friends that are black or gay, so it's okay for me to say blank." Things that are, I think, well-intended, but are often unhelpful in the course of progress. So for over the last month of WOW, we've been talking a lot about creation and going through the stories of the Bible. And we've made it through Genesis now, so tonight we're going to move into the book of Exodus and the story of Moses, and the story of Moses leading the Israelites from slavery to freedom. It's like a roller coaster of a story. So it starts off, Moses first avoids somehow being drowned in the Nile with all the other baby boys, thanks to his mom, puts him in a little basket, floats him on down the Nile, where he's found by one of the Pharaoh's daughters. They take him in, he gets to live with the Pharaoh and like the temple or whatever Pharaohs live in, I'm not sure, but let's call it a temple. And I imagine Moses growing up as like an angsty teen, being like my real people are out there, but I'm living a good life in here and not really knowing like quite where he belongs. So we're going along, Moses is growing up, and then one day, like as like a young man, Moses comes across an Egyptian fighting and beating up an Israelite. So he goes to break it up, but then Moses, he messes up a little bit. He kills the Egyptian. Oops, Houston, we have a problem. So now the Egyptians are all angry at Moses and angsty teen, not really knowing what he's doing. A little bit later, he goes on and he breaks up a fight between two Israelites. And they're like, "Wait, what? Are you gonna kill us too?" Again, angsty teen Moses doesn't really know what to do. Doesn't really know where he fits in, so he skedaddles off out into the desert where he meets his wife. He gets married, and you're like, great, now Moses finally can settle down, maybe have a few kids. But that's not how the story goes, as you well know. Because one day, Moses is happening along out in the desert, and he comes across a burning bush. And this burning bush is the voice of God telling him that he must go back and face the Pharaoh and help get the Israelites and lead them to freedom. So Moses goes back to the Pharaoh, and the whole, I'm sure you've heard the "let my people go" talk. He has that with the Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh's like, "Psh, get out of here, Moses. I don't need this. These are my slaves. They're doing good work for me." So Moses goes and talks to God. He's like, God, he's not going to let them go. And God's like, wait, I have some plagues for them. So 10 plagues come down and rain upon the Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh's like, all right, I've had enough plagues. So he lets the Israelites go. But then, so they leave. And then soon after, the Pharaoh has second thoughts about all of this. So he sends his army out to chase after Moses and the Israelites and just have them all killed. So they get to the Red Sea. Moses, you know, parts the Red Sea. They get across. And then as they get across and the Egyptians are still following behind, the water swooshes down and drowns them all in the Red Sea. The same fate the Pharaoh had for Moses all those years ago. And that, my friends, is a full circle coming back to the beginning. But there really isn't a happy ending to this story of Moses, because now they just wander around the desert for 40 years and like they're free, but they don't really know what to do now that they're with their freedom. Instead, what we find in this story is that God is present with us in our troubles, helping us to deal with them, helping us to discover solutions to them, and then helping us deal with the new problems created by those solutions, and so on. Through all of this, we discover God's desire to help the oppressed and the forgotten. But Moses isn't, of course, the only person in the Bible that's doing justice. There's numerous instances of Jesus also doing justice. And one of those that has always kind of stood out to me is the story of the miracle of Jesus healing the leper. It's an incredible moment of healing, right? Healing someone's sickness. But I think the real miracle happening here is that Jesus reached out and he laid hands on the leper, like we've done here at YZ Community Church, laying hands on other people. And I don't know if you know this, but leprosy back then was, people with leprosy were seen as the most extreme outcasts of society. Like the people thought that they had leprosy because they were sinners against God. So God has personally chosen you to have leprosy. And they actually made people with leprosy walk around with cowbells on their necks so you could hear them coming and run away before they got there. But Jesus came and he laid hands on the leper, washing away all the stereotypes that people have formed about this disease called leprosy. And he allowed him to now live a new life of freedom. I often think about if Jesus were here today, who would he reach out in today's society and wash away their stereotypes that they have? Or who would Moses lead to a new life and new opportunity? Would it be someone maybe of a different race than my own? Or maybe someone from the LGBT community? Or possibly someone that's faith practice looks a little bit different than the way that I practice my faith. But Jesus and Moses, they're not here to do those things for us today. So I have to be better, and I think we all have to be better. These are incredible stories, the story of Jesus healing the leper and Moses leading the Israelites to freedom. And often when there's a big problem in the Bible, God prepares like a single person or a group of people to go out and to solve that problem in God's name for justice. So maybe God is calling us to do something. What I challenge you to listen for what God is maybe calling you to do. Maybe God's calling you to attend a rally of some kind. I think if history has taught us anything is that there are power in numbers. There are numerous rallies happening all over the country every week. And I encourage you to find one that you feel passionate about. And you can find maybe there's someone that has similar passions as you. Get together, and who knows, maybe you could be the next Moses leading a group of people to freedom. Maybe God is calling you to volunteer. There's all kinds of local shelters around here that would love your help, like serving meals or whatever the shelters need. I encourage you to reach out and see how you can volunteer. Or maybe God is calling you to just sign a pledge. I think there's all sorts of pledges out there that you could sign with all numerous causes again. And I think it would give a world of difference for those people trying to give a leg up on their cause, for you to just take 5 minutes and write down your name or whatever information they might need from you. Or maybe God is just calling you to listen more. Have you ever heard the saying, you have two ears and one mouth, so you should listen more often than you speak? Before you head out the door with your megaphone, blasting your message all across, you should be courteous and open up your ears first and think about and feel what the other person might be saying in a non-aggressive fashion, and you could open your eyes and be validating for both you and them. In doing these things, we're making the same choice that Moses made and the same choice Jesus made, to join God in the ongoing struggle to both be free and set others free. That's what it means to be alive, I think, in God's story of creation and non-violent liberation, to make a just world for all. So as you go from this place tonight, I challenge you to listen and find your own burning bush about what God is calling you to do in his just kingdom. For what does the Lord require of us but to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God? Amen.